Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 48, which is, as of this recording, the unnamed episode. I'll see if I'll come up with the name later. It's Wednesday, July 20th. I actually had this ready to go yesterday. Tuesday, my official posting day. But I don't know what got in the way. I'm reading this great book about E.B. White and the making of Charlotte's Web. That's not the exact title. The author, though, is Michael Sims. And it's really wonderful. I love Charlotte's Web. That was one of my favorite books from childhood. It's one of my favorite books today. And this book just came out last month. And it's just a wonderful discussion of White and how he grew up. And it really focuses on nature and his experiences growing up with nature. And then also as an adult when he and his wife Catherine moved up to a farm in Maine, and where he studied animals that he was raising, like the pigs and the geese and the lambs and the spider. He wasn't raising spiders, but he was interested in them and observed them and did a lot of very intense studying of spiders when he started writing Charlotte's Web. So if you love Charlotte's Web or interested in E.B. White or just, I don't know, like a good read, I'd recommend this book. Again, don't have the exact title, although the book, I don't know what I did with the book. Wonderful. E.B. White, Michael Sims, Making a Charlotte's Web. Just all that information ought to get you where you're going. I'm about to read The Girl Who Fell from the Sky for my book club, which is next week. I'm waiting for it. My friend Danielle was supposed to lend me her Kindle so I could read it on her Kindle, but she didn't. And to be honest, not a Kindle girl yet. I know Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us is. My mom, I believe, has a Kindle. We haven't discussed it. I don't know how much reading she does on it. She'll have to tell me. But so far, have not been lured by the Kindle. It may happen sooner or later, but I'm still pretty happy with books. But that is what I'll be reading next, and I'll tell you all about it. And it seems to be a pretty popular book and a popular book club book, which does not mean I will automatically like it because I've hated a lot of the really popular books, like, The Secret Lives of Bees. We read that years ago from my book group, and I was, like, the only one who really hated it. Just did. Sorry. Okay. So I am rambling here, one, because you know me. I'm a rambler. Two, don't have a whole lot to tell you about. This is not a meaty kind of episode, just because mostly all I've been doing is working on Hidden Stars hand quilting, which I'm really enjoying. But last week was a very busy week with canning. I canned tomato sauce, which I talk about some here because it was a little frustrating. Went blueberry picking twice. Made blueberry jam. Have about 5 pounds of blueberries in my freezer. So I will be making some more blueberry jam and maybe some jelly. The man really wants me to make some jelly. So just in the height of summer production, this has been so fun. This is the first year this is the first year I've done much preserving other than a little bit of freezing. My neighbors down the street are on vacation, and Will and I are taking care of their chickens. Will's very big on chickens now, and sooner or later, we're going to get chickens. But we're also welcome to the fruits of their garden, and they have lots of tomatoes. Now, we have lots of tomatoes as well, but now that I know how to make tomato sauce to can, and can it, I've always known how to make tomato sauce. I have already frozen some tomato sauce and will probably, with the tomatoes I see right over here on my mantle that are inside the house because they are about to be overripe. Mostly we pick the tomatoes and leave them on the screen porch, but these babies had to come in. Probably will make sauce to freeze. Just really fun, but also have been reading up on how to just freeze tomatoes. You can just freeze your tomatoes and use them for sauces in the winter, and that's what I may do with the tomatoes I pick from my neighbor's garden. My neighbor still has kale, which is very hot for kale. I can't imagine it's going to stay good much longer, but she gave us some the other night, and we ate it last night, just sautéed with a little garlic, splashed with a little vinegar, and it was quite tasty. I like kale, and it is maybe one of nature's best foods. That and blueberries, although I would not mix blueberries and kale. So a lot of food production going on, and a lot of, fair amount of reading. Sometimes I get into cycles where I really just, if I find books that I really just love, I will pretty much just put down everything else and read. So I am enjoying my E.B. White book. So I have really kind of, I think I started it on Monday, and it's Wednesday, and I'm almost done. I want to thank everybody who commented on the last episode. And I'm going to pull up the comments. Got lots of really nice comments about the quilt, about Shoe Fly Pie. Thank you so much to Noni and Susan, to Claudia over at Machen and Tune. Let's see, I'm going to do a little clicking around here. Oh, Mom, my mom commented. Thank you, Mom. She said that she really loved the way that I pieced the back of the quilt. My mom doesn't often comment. I guess that's because we just talk about stuff. So I like that she signed her comment, Jane, a.k.a. Mom, which is actually good because there are other Jane listeners. I heard from Ellen, who liked the back as well. Thank you. From Tanisha, who loves the back. Excellent. Jackie, Loretta 6. Got heard from Kelly the 5th, who also loves free motion quilting. And I mentioned cicadas my last episode because I was on the porch. I would be on the porch right now, but it's really edging in on 100. But we would be able to hear more cicadas if I were. And she's only heard cicadas in Sedona, Arizona. I didn't know what that sound was, she writes, until we saw a cicada on our hotel balcony. Extraordinarily ugly bug that makes a divine sound. That is probably the best description of cicada I've ever heard. They are really, really ugly. They're locusty-like. They're really ugly bugs. Let's see. Heard from Deb C. and heard from Scoo Quilt, and she's thumbs up on the colors of the quilt. Heard from Angela, Kim T., and Ethel, who I have not heard from before. I'm very happy to hear from some new folks, which I have been in general. So thank you, everyone who's new and leaving comments. I really appreciate it. Now, let me see. That was everyone who commented on the WordPress site. And by the way, I don't have new pictures for this week, so I may put pictures of my garden up on the WordPress site. So there are a couple places you can comment. One is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and the other is offkilterquilt.podbean.com. Please feel free to comment. I love getting your comments. It's so nice to hear from you. And please feel free to email me, and that would be at fdowell, Francis Dowell, fdowell@mindspring.com. And if you've not left a comment on iTunes, feel free. Got a new comment the other day. It was so nice to hear from somebody. Thank you. Over on Podbean, also heard from Noni over there. Thank you, Noni, and I owe you some emails. Heard from Sherry D., and it does sound like the first half of my episodes are not up on iTunes, and I'll have to check that out. It may be that I'm not sure what the deal is, but I'm going to look and see if I can get the early episodes back up. Heard from Susan in North Georgia, who is new to the site, and says she also cannot access earlier episodes. We're going to work on that. Angela M. for her first comment. Thank you, Angela. And she recommended a couple shows for me because I am looking for series that I can get from Netflix. She recommends The Closer, and I have heard of that. And I'm thinking, is that the one with Kyra Sedgwick? I don't know, but I've heard that name, so we're going to check that out. And she also mentioned 24, which I have not watched, but the man has watched all of and loved. And Jen wanted to know, did I mention a fig preserve recipe in this recent episode, or is she losing her mind? I mentioned that there is one. It's like on the comments on the WordPress site. I think it's look under episode 46 or, yeah, I think 45 or 46. There is a recipe for strawberry fig preserves, which is exciting because our figs are growing. And we also, again, taking care of some neighbor's chickens, and we're going to be doing that several times over the course of August. By the way, the chickens are young. They haven't started laying yet, but hopefully by August they will have. And so not only will I get free tomatoes, and we'll get eggs, and they have fig trees, and the figs should be ripening. So I think I will be doing a lot of preserving of figs. So Jen, yes, you are not losing your mind, or if you are losing your mind, it's not over whether or not there was a fig preserve recipe mentioned. Yes, there was. So go check it out on the WordPress site, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. So thank you, everyone who took time to leave a comment. It always makes me very, very happy to see comments, to see iTunes reviews, to get emails. Still way behind on my emailing. I just don't know what's up. It's just been busy. It's been a much better summer than I anticipated. Just been fun, I think. I may have talked about this last week, but I'm still overwhelmed by how rarely I have to go to the pool these days because other people are really picking up the pool slack for me very happily. I think we are going to go tomorrow and Friday. you know, I'm almost getting to the point where I want to go. Mostly I want to hang out with my friend Amy, who I've been friends with for ages and ages, but she homeschools, and so during the school year, we don't see each other very much because she doesn't have free time during the day the way that I sometimes do. So the pool is really the time where we get to hang out. So that has been the only disappointing part of not going to the pool very much this summer, is I haven't gotten to spend as much time with Amy. Yeah, I know. A lot of people just really love the pool. I'm strange. I can't explain it. Well, got some quilting diaries. Again, not really meaty, but, you know, go do something else while you're listening to this. Do some chores, and you can just have my voice on in the background, and just for company. Let me keep you company. Don't expect too much, but it's always nice to have a little company. Okay, on to the quilt diaries. Quilt diary, day one. I just have a few minutes to talk. Can you hear the click, click, clicking noise behind me? That's my stove. Whenever water, I have a gas stove, and whenever water gets into something or other, there's a click, 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 click sound, which has something to do with the gas and the lighter and all this. I don't quite get it. All I know is it's not dangerous, because the first time it happened, I was terrified and spent a lot of time online trying to figure out, was my house about to explode? And no, it's just the water thing. It's got to dry. That's going to make the sound until it dries. It starts slowing down, and finally goes away. The reason it's tick, tick, ticking, the reason it got water is because I have been canning. This quilt diary, by the way, has very little to do with quilting other than parallels that we can draw, because I'm feeling very frustrated. I have just finished canning 2 pints of marinara sauce. Now, that in of itself is a fine thing. I've never done it before, and we have lots of tomatoes, so I've been wanting to get going with the spaghetti sauce. Just tomato, onion, garlic, basil. It's a tomato basil sauce is its official title. Started out with 8 pounds of tomatoes about 3 or 4 o'clock today. Blanched them, peeled them, cored them, seeded them, cut them up, ran them water over, put them in a sieve, ran water over them to get all the seeds out, processed them through a food mill, which, by the way, I love doing. I think is very, very fun. And then I made the tomato basil sauce, which had to cook for an hour and a half. The thing about canning, okay, I have now canned blackberry jam, blueberry jam, which I did yesterday with my friend Daniil, and now tomato sauce. The hard thing, the thing that I'm realizing, is to get the timing right on getting all the water hot, getting it simmering. And when you are trying to bring like 5 gallons, I don't know if it's 5 gallons, but it's got to be close to 5 gallons of water to a simmer, it takes like 5, 7, 19 years to do this. So you need to start early. This is a very frustrating process. Getting the timing all right is difficult. Timing is not such an issue with quilting, I don't think. I have to think about that. Is timing ever an issue with quilting? I don't know. The frustrating part. All right, so I make my recipe, make my sauce, cook it, cook it, cook it, cook it, and it tastes very nice. Add some balsamic vinegar at the end. Very nice tasting. Finally get the cans ready and kind of get everything where it needs to be. Start filling my pint jars. I'm supposed to have 5 pints of sauce. You know how much I had? 2 and a little left over, but you can't can half a jar. So that's gone. That's over. So 2 pints. Now, 2 pints of spaghetti sauce is nice. I'm sure it'll taste good, but I'm supposed to have 5. Alright, I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time blanching and peeling and coring and seeding and washing. I have little pruny fingers from this. Milling, food milling, bringing cans to the simmering point. Oh, which just takes 10,000 years to do. Get all that done? 2 pints. Have enough sauce for 2 pints. I guess I cooked it down. Maybe I didn't have, as I know I had 8 pounds of tomatoes, but maybe when I cut some of the tomatoes, we had a lot of rain last week, so some of the tomatoes, the top, you know, the bottoms were ripe and the tops were funky, not bacterial funky, not scary funky, but just kind of tough, you know. So I cut that part away. So maybe I ended up with 6 pounds of tomatoes, and that's what the problem is. I don't know. Somewhere something didn't work out. And I feel, frustrated. I feel frustrated. And I think, I was thinking, you know, I've been spending so much time canning. I have not done much quilting. I've done some hand quilting. And a little bit on Will's quilt. I was looking at Will's quilt tonight. And I was like, well, what do I have to talk about? I don't even have a quilt diary going yet because I've been canning and not quilting. I thought, well, let's talk about how frustrating it feels to invest a lot of time, not necessarily money, because I grew most of everything that went into those jars with the exception of the onions. And I bought the jars, but those are reusable. That's an investment that will pay off in spades over time. So not a huge money investment, but a huge time investment. And I feel the way you feel when you have spent a lot of your time, and I don't believe necessarily that time is money. I think that can be a very crass equation in many cases. And so when people start valuing what they make, whether it be a quilt or a pair of socks or a sweater, in terms of how many hours they worked at it times whatever wage. Oh, well, really, if you break it down, you got paid 10 cents an hour. I mean, that's horrible. It's vulgar. We don't, that's not how we run. Okay. So I don't want to think about it that way, but it certainly is a lot of time, you know, boiling and blanching and ice water baths and peeling and all that. It's a lot of time. And that happens with, you know, quilting too, where, you know, you buy the fabric. In quilting, there is a, you know, initial investment. But even, you know, you can make a quilt out of fabrics that you have and that you already have. You didn't even have to spend money on the way that I spent nominally on these tomatoes because we started with a $2 pack of seeds, right? And 8 pounds of tomatoes, really not that much. So nominal fee for this project, and you can have nominal fees for a quilting project, but when you spend all the time and it doesn't turn out, oh, that's frustrating. It's a frustrating thing. I'm feeling frustrated. Can I tell you, too, I tried to make mozzarella cheese. I'm just like Miss Ma Ingalls here right now, though I doubt Ma Ingalls had ever heard of mozzarella cheese, much less made it. Although she probably made cheese. I can't remember. I'll have to go reread the books, but the other day I thought, oh, I'm going to make some mozzarella cheese. I've got this kit, and here's my problem. Don't know the difference between a half gallon and a gallon. Needed a gallon of milk. Only used a half gallon because I thought that was a gallon. So my mozzarella cheese didn't turn out. But the good news is it made a kind of ricotta. Whatever I made, it still tasted really good, and it tasted really good with blackberry jam. So just thought I'd talk about the nature of frustration and how we feel when we invest a lot of ourselves and our time into a project and it doesn't turn out the way we want it. The way we envision. Like I envisioned 5 pints of spaghetti sauce sitting on my counter, and right now they're 2. They are beautiful. By the way, I just took them out of the hot water bath, and they are quite lovely, but there should be 5, or at least 4. And you know what's funny is I sterilized 6 jars just in case, had way too much. Feeling frustrated, trying to tie it to quilting, because this is a quilting podcast. And I think we've all had those situations where you're just at the end of the day and you've worked so hard and you are tired and you look at what you made and go, and you just have that frustrating feeling. And I thought I would share. And now I've got to go put Will to bed. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quilt. I should tell you, I went blueberry picking today with my friend Melissa, my young friend Melissa. It was her birthday today, and she's 31. She's very young. And we went blueberry picking and had a lot of fun. She's really fun. And but she is going to make her mother a small quilt, very, very small quilt, but had some very sort of family fabric, linens with embroidery things. And so she's just going to sew that together. But then she was asking my help. She said, you make quilts, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, I think I can sew everything together okay, but I don't know what to do once I get everything sewn together. I said, come over to my house. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to teach you how to bind a quilt and quilt a quilt. Aren't I something? Aren't I the quilting teacher? But you know, in the same way, Melissa actually is one who taught me how to can. We canned strawberry jam together, and so now it's a big turnaround, and I get to help her quilt a quilt and bind a quilt, or bind a quilt No, yeah, quilt, then bind. That's right. And it's funny. It's funny to be here. I think, yeah, I can actually show somebody how to do something quilting-wise. Very exciting. In fact, for her birthday, this just killed me. So I said, well, what are you getting for your birthday? She said, well, you know, I have to tell my husband what to get me. I'm like, amen, sister. I know that story. She said, so I want to get a rotary cutter and a cutting mat. I'm like, that's great, but is that it? That's your list? I think that was her list. I'm like, bless your heart. Two little things on the list. And, you know, those are not necessarily inexpensive things, but still. Ah, youth. All right, got to go put Will to bed. See you in a little bit. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Sunday, July 17th. It's a very beautiful day. We've had this streak of lovely, lovely weather. Last week started out with a couple of 100-degree days, and then it plopped down to 87, where it has stuck ever since, and it's lovely. We're having a great time. Now, I've not gotten much fancy quilting done this week at all. I'm just hand quilting. I still need to bind Shoe Fly Pie, and I'm going to put tabs on it. Noni suggested that, and that's what I'd already been thinking, to put tabs so I can hang it and hang it front or back. Thank you for the nice comments about the back, by the way, everyone who's left one of those. So I do have to do that. That won't be long, but I've been doing so much canning. I think I talked about that in the first quilt diary, that really preserving my harvest has been my number one priority, but I'm ready to get back to some quilting this week. I hope it's going to be a nice, quiet week. And I will continue with Will's quilt, and I will continue hand quilting The Hidden Stars, which I'm just so much enjoying. I'm hopping on here today because I'm going to read you an obituary, which is not morbid at all. It was in today's Sunday Times, and the man pointed it out to me. The headline reads, Artist James... Artist is A-R-D-I-S, not artist, artist. Artist James dies at 85. Established Center on Quilts. And the obituary was written by Margalit Fox. And I'm going to read it to you because I enjoyed it. And it's adding content value to the show, more value for your listening dollar. So listen up. Artist Butler James, a Nebraska-born philanthropist who, with her husband, established what is now the largest public collection of quilts in the world, encompassing humbly elegant bed coverings by anonymous 18th-century hands and avant-garde wall hangings by celebrated 21st-century artists, died on July 7th in Stamford, Connecticut. She was 85. The cause was complications of a neurological disorder. Her daughter, Catherine James Paglia, said. Mrs. James, who had lived most recently in Stamford, was a longtime resident of Chappaqua. Is that how you say that? Chappaqua? New York. Which is where I think the Clintons live. Am I correct? I believe so. These asides are mine, not Margaret Fox's. Mrs. James and her husband, Robert, started the International Quilt Study Center of Museum at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in 1997. Begun with a donation of nearly 1,000 quilts, then valued at more than $6 million, from the couple's personal collection, it is today home to more than 3,500 quilts spanning three centuries and two dozen countries. The center, which presents regular public exhibitions, has occupied a specially commissioned building endowed in no small part by the Jameses since 2008. Designed by the New York architectural firm Robert A.M. Stern, it has a curving facade of segmented glass panels that appear stitched together. Isn't that cool? They appear stitched together like the patches of a quilt. Did they even need to add patches to the quilt? We knew that's what they were stitched together like, but I still would love to see that. In collaboration with the center, the university offers the only academic quilt studies program in the world. This is my aside. Would you want to do quilt studies? I don't know. I think I would like to. I'm so interested in the stories of individual quilts and individual quilters, but less so like in the history of fabric. And I guess if you did quilt studies, you'd be studying a lot the history of fabric. And they're good books. I've read about fabric, and it's interesting for about, you know, 10 pages, and then I want to get on to people's lives and who was mean to who and who made this quilt and retaliation for that, you know. The good stuff, the interesting stuff. All right, on with this. There, at the Quilt Studies program, students can earn master's and doctoral degrees centering on the social history, I think that's who did what to who, economics, aesthetics, and technology of quilt making. The focal point of the center's 8 major collections is the Artist and Robert James collection of antique and contemporary quilts. Now comprising nearly 1,100 items, it is noteworthy for its comprehensiveness. Quote, they tried to create a collection that reflected the entire gamut of quilt making traditions. Patricia Cox Cruz, the Willa Cather Professor of Textiles at the University and the Quilt Center's director, said on Thursday, quote, some people have collected 19th century American, others have collected only studio art quilts, others may have collected the quilts of India and Pakistan, but theirs reflected the entire tradition. America is richly represented in the James Collection. To search its catalog is to be blissfully awash in the names of traditional quilt patterns that, with their allusions to faith, family, fighting, and trade, are a microcosm of the early nation. Delectable mountains and drunkard's path, log cabin and mariner's compass, wig rose and Burgoyne surrounded. Oh, okay, there was a colon before. That's a list of names. Okay. It is also to be awash in a phrase that echoes hauntingly in the descriptions of 18th, 19th, and early 20th century quilts. Maker unknown. For thus, to the margins of history, was women's work consigned. That's kind of poetic. For thus, to the margins of history, was women's work consigned. Then, in the late 20th century, the studio art quilt movement emerged. Suddenly, women, and increasingly men, were making quilts not simply as utilitarian textiles, but as vibrant pieces of modern art meant for the gallery wall as well as the bedroom, and being credited by name to boot. I like that, to boot. The Jameses were among the first people to collect these quilts in quantity, and the center includes work they acquired by prominent contemporary quilt makers like Nancy Crowe, Faith Rheingold, Susan Shee, or Shie, S-H-I-E, and Michael James, who is now the Artist James Professor of Textiles, Clothing, and Design at Nebraska. Artist Marie Butler was born in Lincoln and reared in Omaha. By the way, in Nebraska, they drink unsweetened tea, like in Texas, like me. Just thought I'd add that. Iced tea, I mean. That's important because, you know, when you live in North Carolina, everybody drinks sweet tea. They don't understand the beauty of unsweet tea. So anyway, I feel a little closer to artists because of that. Her mother was a quilter, as was she. After an early marriage that ended in divorce, she married Robert G. James in 1949. Mr. James became an oil company executive and real estate developer, and the couple settled in Chappaqua, and my aside would be, which is how they afforded to collect all those amazing quilts. Mrs. James had long been a fabric addict, an affliction most commonly seen in women and not universally understood by men. She was fortunate. Once offered a fur coat by her husband, she chose a sewing machine instead, and he did not demur. A friend of hers, by contrast, had to spirit her fabric purchases home in a grocery bag concealed beneath a mound of potatoes. With several fellow travelers, Mrs. James opened a fabric shop, Thread Needle House, in Chappaqua in the 1960s. The Jameses began collecting quilts in the late 1970s. Their first purchase was a pink, white, and green mariner's compass, for which they paid $100. Before long, their house was draped in quilts. Soon afterward, they had to build an extension. Besides her husband and daughter, Mrs. James is survived by a son, Ralph, and 5 grandchildren. Another son, Robert G. Jr., died in 1976. For Mrs. James, the hypnotic pull of quilts lay in their tangible links to the past, to the land, to makers known and unknown. Quote, almost everything in our lives can be disposable if we want, and I'm not against paper plates, but there may be need of an anchor as well, she said in a talk she gave some years ago. Quote, an 1875 log cabin can help when you feel, as did Willie Loman, kind of temporary about myself. End of quote. End of article. I thought that was a nicely written obituary. It made me like Artist James very much. Not just that she established this quilt center, but she just sounds like, well, our kind of people. I thought I would share that with you. And I think that's all I have to share. I would very much like to go to the Quilt Study Center and Museum. I think it would be fabulous. I would, yes, like to see the doors that look like they're stitched together, and or the curving facade of segmented glass, not necessarily the doors. So I like the idea that the doors would be like one patch and then another patch, and when you close them, you know, the door frames kind of look like stitches. That would be very cool. Anyway, one day, I've never been to Nebraska, not been far out west. The man and I were just discussing taking a trip out west. One of these, I said I'd like to go to Minnesota. I've never been to Minnesota, and I've heard it's very nice and very pretty and nice in the summer. Lots of lakes, according to the license plate. It is Minnesota, which is land of 10,000 lakes, right? Anyway, so maybe we'll go to Minnesota and then head west and go to Nebraska and go to the Quilt Center. So rest in peace, Artist James, and thanks for all that you did for us. We appreciate it. Okay, that's probably going to be it for this week. As I said, I don't have a lot of news of my own to offer. I hope that when I am back next week or during the course of this week when I'm doing the Quilt Diaries, that I'll have lots of stories of progress to make. I actually did make progress this week. I shouldn't say that I didn't, because I have been hand quilting about every night, and whenever I say timelines, I'm always wrong, so I'm not going to give you an ETA on Hidden Stars, but I've really enjoyed working on it every night. The man and I have been watching Sports Night via Netflix Instant Play, the next Netflix down, I want to say down streaming. It's not downloading, instant streaming, whatever it's called. Have not gotten enough feedback, ladies, on other series we might be watching via Netflix, I should say. I can never keep up with series when they're on TV, except with the exception of Mad Men, I think, and HBO Sunday night stuff, where you know you have your date with your TV on Sunday night. But we have a great time watching stuff via Netflix, and it's fun because if you're really into a show, you can just watch episode after episode, and you're thinking, I should really go to bed now. It's late, but you're having too much good fun watching TV. So really, I would love to hear any kind of series, TV that you really love, or a movie. Okay, here's something. We watched last night a wonderful film. It's called As It Is in Heaven. It was actually referred to in a sermon about at the beginning of the summer. And then one of my friends from church watched it, and it's available instant streaming on Netflix. So, and she watched it and said it was wonderful. It's Swedish, it's got subtitles. And so the man and I watched it last night, and it was wonderful. Although we had a very interesting discussion this morning, what would happen. It's a film that could easily really verge on sentimentality. The basic storyline is a famous conductor. He's still a fairly young man, maybe in his late 40s, early 50s. So was a prodigy violinist as a child, becomes a world-famous conductor, and has a heart attack. And I think he must have been in his 40s, so it's young. So he's like forced to retire, and he moves back to his childhood village in Sweden and buys the old schoolhouse where he attended school and was bullied very badly. He ends up taking over the church choir. It's wonderful and really transforms it from not much at all to a really lovely choir. And it doesn't go overboard with it at all, it's a storyline that can be very easily sentimental. But the acting is so good, and the main actor is so, so good, that they stay away from that. But the man and I were talking this morning about how you could just see Robin Williams like buying the rights to make the movie in English, and then it would be totally just completely sentimental and feel good. And there's some feel goodness to this movie, and it's a very interesting. It's got theological underpinnings, I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, very much enjoyed it, so I would recommend that. And if you are on Netflix, you can just watch it instantly. Instant queue, yes. So passing that along, I'm hoping you will have a fabulous, wonderful week. I hope you're having a good summer and getting some quilting done, enjoying your peeps, walking your dog, doing your thing, eating some corn, and, of course, getting your hands on some homegrown tomatoes. All right, talk to you next week. Bye.